You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pope Francis on Monday accepted the credentials of Britain's new ambassador to the Holy See, Sally Axworthy, who has worked extensively on conflict resolution in North and East Africa. Axworthy, who is married with four children, joined the Foreign and Commonwealth Office in 1986 and has recently headed its department for North Africa, as well as for the Great Lakes, East Africa and Somalia regions. Just after the papal audience, she came to Vatican Radio to share with me her impressions and to talk about the skills she hopes to bring to this new position. Sally Axworthy, thank you very much for being with us here today. You've just presented your credentials to Pope Francis, your first meeting with him. Share some of your first impressions with us, if you can.
I was delighted to meet the Pope today. I think, as everybody had told me beforehand, he was a very humble, very simple person, very friendly. He wanted to pass on his good memories of meeting the Queen, warm words about the Queen. So, yes, it was a very impressive and moving experience.
You say he's very simple, very humble, and yet you're dressed up still in your beautiful diplomatic uniform, sword and bicorn or cocked hat. And I'm wondering, doesn't that contrast a little bit, all that formality, with this simpler, more relaxed atmosphere that the Pope's trying to create?
I think that's one of the issues that I will need to get to grips with in my job. The Vatican is a very formal place, very beautiful, with lots of history and lots of ceremony, and that does contrast a little bit with the message of the Pope. The two sit side by side, and I think I will have to deal with both.
You're talking about some of your top priorities as you take up this new position. You say you'll be working principally on countering violent extremism and on conflict resolution. Now, this particularly is an area in which you've had a lot of experience, haven't you, working on conflict resolution in Africa, the Middle East. What do you think have been your major achievements in this area, and how do you hope to step up the UK's partnership with the Holy See on this crucial question?
In the last 5 years, I've worked on Somalia and on North Africa, and in particular Libya. And in both Somalia and Libya, I think the UK took a lead with international partners in trying to bring conflicts to an end. And in both places, we did something similar, which was to try and get the parties around the table to talk about how they could move forward. And I think in Somalia, a new government was formed, and it's inching forwards towards greater stability. In Libya, there's also been a government of national unity formed. So that was a great experience for me, and to see how the international community could support local processes. With the Vatican, I'm very struck, as I've been preparing for this job, by the networks the Vatican has, both the bishops' conferences, the priests, but also the religious communities, often working in conflict areas when other people have found it too dangerous or too difficult to remain there. So the Vatican has great networks and great information. And I hope to be able to work with them so that we can work together. We have, I think, complementary things that we bring to the table. The UK is still a major country with seat on the Security Council, member of NATO, member of G7, member of the G20, peacekeeping troops. But the Vatican has much more sort of grassroots information, I think, than we sometimes do. So I'm hoping we can bring the two things together and perhaps look at how we can support peace processes in some of the troubled parts of the world.
You're talking about bringing leaders together around the table. Does that include faith leaders? And what role do you think perhaps the church can help to play in some of these very difficult conflict situations?
I think it does include faith leaders. Faith leaders often have an awful lot of influence over what happens locally. And it's maybe something that we, as sort of traditional diplomatic services, haven't factored in enough. And something that I'll certainly be wanting to work with the Vatican on.
World leaders, as we speak, are meeting at the United Nations to try and find some common solutions to the migration crisis, which, of course, is such a part of the situations of conflict in the world today, as well as, of course, stemming from poverty and climate change and so on. The Pope continually calls for bridge building, and yet we've seen just very recently the UK calling for a wall to be built in Calais to keep migrants out. Did you talk to the Pope about this, and how can you square these two apparently very divergent positions?
We didn't discuss that this morning, and the Pope has called for a focus on the dignity of the individual in the migration crisis. I think actually as we look for solutions, I mean, this is not an easy issue in which I don't think the solutions are clear to anyone really, But I think that the reminder to treat people as individuals is something that is useful for the countries that are dealing with the migration crisis. And equally, you know, we have other factors that we need to consider, like the impact on migration on our own societies. So I don't see that we're in opposition to each other, because I think the Pope also understands the impact of migration on the receiving countries. It's more about trying to find a way of managing migration better, perhaps helping the countries from which migrants come. We were talking about conflict resolution a moment ago. I mean, that's obviously going to be a key, really, to solving some of the migration flows. So I think our objectives are in the same sort of place, even if the emphasis is slightly different.
You're the first ambassador, of course, from post-Brexit Britain, aren't you? The Pope hasn't commented directly on that referendum. And yet, again, his focus when speaking to EU leaders has always been on integration, unity, closer cooperation. Do you think the planned departure of the UK from the European Union is going to be a hindrance in forging closer partnerships in this work that you want to do?
So we're not quite post-Brexit yet. We haven't left yet. And I think the Pope did comment on the referendum. He said that the will of the British people needed to be respected. And I think, you know, that's the key, that there was a referendum that people spoke, and now we need to work in line with that decision. Of course, the Holy See isn't part of the EU, so I don't think it's going to directly affect our relationship with them. And as I was saying, I think in the things that we will try and do together, Britain's global influence is still there. We will still be working to resolve conflicts around the world and to bring greater peace and stability. And we will be able to do that before and after Brexit.
On a more personal note, I understand that in preparing for this job, you were able to walk down parts of the very ancient pilgrim route from Canterbury to Rome, the Via Francigena. And I'm wondering if you could tell us anything about your own faith journey. You're a member of the Church of England, aren't you? And I'm wondering whether this faith background has any influence in your professional life today.
I am an Anglican, yes. And I suppose that one doesn't apply for the job of ambassador to the Holy See without being interested in religion and in faith. When I was younger, before I had a family, I sometimes used to go and stay in monasteries, actually Catholic monasteries in the UK, which are places of kind of peace. And I think it would enable me to step out of my busy daily life and take a few days for reflection. And there's something about the Via Francigena, which is the same, I think, that actually, you know, we rush around a lot. So taking some time to walk along a very ancient route and perhaps reflect a bit on the people who walked that way between between Canterbury and Rome in past centuries and still do it. Some people still do walk all the way from Canterbury. It enables me to step back and put my present job a little bit into perspective.
One final question you've talked about. You speak of the challenge of operating in this largely male world here in the Vatican. How much of a difficulty do you think this will be for you, coming, of course, from a country with a prime minister who's a woman and women, in fact, in all leadership roles, including in the Church of England?
It's a different environment that I'm going to have to get used to. There was a reception last week, for example, in the Vatican, and it was mainly men. The only ladies there were the female ambassadors. And that's a change for me, because I think in the UK we have gone a long way over the last 20 or 30 years towards greater equality, and you would now expect to see women in all walks of life, whether ambassadors, prime ministers, you know, in every job they're open to women. And this is a different environment, so I'm going to need to get used to that.
My thanks to Sally Axworthy, Britain's new ambassador to the Holy See.